Hi, I'm Mike Merles. I'm the lead developer of Dungeons & Dragons, and you're listening to the Vorpal Network.
Hello, I'm Rob Hainso, lead designer on Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition, and you have been listening to The Tome Show.
Welcome to The Tome, Episode 83. The Tome is a D&D news, reviews, and interviews show, and I'm your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. In this episode, we're going to complete the full set with Rob Hainso. That's right. With the release of this episode, provided by Jeffrey D. Wynn at Gen Con, The Tome will have had interviews with every person whose name appears on the cover of the 4th edition core books, plus the lead designer and the audio from the official announcement. Seems to me that's a D&D podcasting royal flush. I win, give me the winnings. What? No winnings? Well, then the least you could do is swing by the forums at vorpalnetwork.com or buy something from the Tome's Amazon store. Speaking of which, some awesome person out there has been buying a bunch of stuff through the store. I recently noticed that someone bought a new vacuum and went to Amazon from the Tome's store. And wouldn't you know it, I get credit for that. So, listen up, guys. If you're going to buy stuff from Amazon, even if it's not gaming stuff, if you get to Amazon through the Tome store, you will successfully help the show. Right now, I'm trying to save up money from the store to improve my microphone for you guys. I'm a little less than halfway there now, so I want to thank all of you for all the help that you've had so far and all of your support, and I'll let you know when we get to the goal. Also, I wanted to give a quick shout-out to the Monarch Comics Briefing. It's a show from the Fistful of Comics and Games guys, and it's going to feature me in the next episode. So be sure to swing over there and check it out. I'll be sure to link to it in the show notes. And one last thing before I turn it over to Mr. Wynn. Despite what I may think of the proprietor of Fistful of Comics and Games, Victor, and his uneducated blundering, I want you all to be aware that Fistful of Comics and Games puts together some great shows on comics, video games, tabletop games. They have some awesome interviews, text reviews of products, and so much more. I just wanted to give you a heads up, because I might have sort of gone off on Victor, who totally deserves it, when I recorded Monarchs with Ed. But I'll leave it at that and let you hear the show for yourself. And if you want to ask more about it, you can head over to the forums. But with that, it's time for the illustrious Sir Jeffrey D. Wynn to bring us his not-so-live interview from Gen Con with Rob Hainso, game designer extraordinaire. Take it away, Master Wynn.
I'm here with Rob Hainso, who works for Wizards of the Coast. We're here at Gen Con 2008. Rob, why don't you tell me what you do for Wizards of the Coast?
I am lead mechanical designer for Dungeons & Dragons, and that really means that I call myself sort of the captain of the design team. So the people who do new powers for classes and new monsters and new feats, I help them and then usually lead books. Books
like Martial Power. Okay.
Player's Handbook 2.
Okay.
And Forgotten Realms Player's Guide, things like that.
Okay. So 4th edition has been out for a while. What's the reception been like?
The reception has been pretty good. It's we have the funny situation that several products that haven't even been published yet, or before they're published, they're already sold out, and we're reprinting. And given that also includes like the second adventure, that makes me very happy because it means that people are playing it. And it really is a game that needs to be played. It's got enough different approaches to the Dungeons & Dragons subject matter that it's like, wow, you need to play it. And the fact that the second adventure sold out, that means people are playing it.
So you would say that 4th edition is a success?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. I've enjoyed 4th edition. Now, a lot of people are curious about the D&D Insider. I don't know how much you know about this, but it was supposed to be. You never set a date, but I think most people expected to have it mostly out by the time the books came out, and we still don't really have anything.
I think that D&D Insider in about a month is going to go to some form of subscription, as in a something, some amount of subscription money for the Dungeons and Dragon content and the compendium, which is basically a database.
Right.
The database is certainly going to be worthwhile as soon as there are multiple books published that have powers and feats and things. The character builder is coming along soon, but I'm not positive of what the release date on that is. You're absolutely right. I can understand why everybody would expect stuff to have come out at the same time. It didn't. And at the moment, I personally am absolutely not in the habit of telling anybody any dates for electronic stuff.
Okay.
It's like, if you work in computer games ever, you know, when computer games say, and here's the date, you always go like this. Yada, 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 yada. What date are you talking about? So I think realistically, electronic stuff, that's how it nearly always is. I am looking forward to the time when the word soon just becomes, oh, it's here right now. And given that we're actually starting to charge money soon, that means that I know that the that things are really close to to being there.
So we can we as gamers can feel confident that things are going along smoothly. There's been no like servers exploding in the basement of your headquarters, or people getting fired or whatever.
The only problem the server room ever had was when a sewer line backed up into it. That was several years ago, and no damage. No,
a whole team of programmers took vacation, never came back.
Nothing like that.
I feel good. So you are involved with the upcoming Martial Power book, Arcane Power, Player's Handbook 2. Are there any other major projects you're involved with?
I worked as lead designer for the whole process of 4th edition, which meant basically that I got to be both leading teams and on every single piece of the team, like whether it was development teams or anything. These days, there are other books and other projects I'm working on, and none of them have been officially announced. So I always have realistically also in my home campaign, every single player except one is playing characters from products that haven't been are completely secret. And so I have this funny situation. I don't blog nearly as much as I kind of should have, would like to in a way.
Right.
I'm
going
to start doing more of it, but another funny part about it is that I can't say, and I was working on this today. It's like, I got to say, I was working on Censored today, and I really think that there's some interesting Censored on the Censored. It's like, whatever, I can't do it. So,
Speaking of blogs, they're not quite connected, but Gleamax just went away. Why was that?
Well, the biggest reason would be that Gleamax wasn't getting things done the way it wanted to. And we're going to go ahead and focus on D&D and Magic. And Gleamax realistically was supposed to, it was basically Wizards going, we're going to be the portal for all types of internet games. And I think that what really happened is that we've gone ahead and looked at what we can do, what we want to do, and if it comes to a point in some future date when we manage to bite off the giant, giant sandwich of gaming and go, yes, we do it all, that'll be great. But for the start, we've really got to like get Magic and D&D together.
All right, so it's on the back burner.
There's a burner somewhere, yes, but I wouldn't call. I don't even know if it's a back burner.
It's in the fridge.
Yeah, that's right. It's in the fridge.
Okay.
So I think the Gleamax project was set up to be a internet portal for all turn-based strategy gamers and everybody who was involved in D&D role-playing and Magic and card games and so forth. And I think that what's happening now with the D&DI is that we're focusing on being that community site for Dungeons and Dragons and eventually getting the gaming table going so that people are playing online together. It's going to be accomplishing some of the same style of stuff that Gleamax was going to be doing, but it is going to be doing it focused on D&D. I'm personally pretty happy about that because I always knew it's like when you're going to focus on something, you can do it really, really well, especially if it's what you already do. And with D&D, it's like the quality right now of the Dungeons & Dragons electronic magazines. It's really fun. And for the first time, I would say this. We're actually like really, in the past, I think at certain times at Wizards, the web has been we're also doing the web. And it's been good this time around to go ahead and have it be most, and not quite all, but most of the stuff we're publishing in Dungeon & Dragon is getting the same style of attention as the print product. And in the future, it should be all the stuff that's getting published in Dungeon & Dragon. And that's a real difference. I mean, the truth is, in the past, there was stuff we put on the web, you know, R&D never saw it, and it never went through development. And these days, because we're going to go ahead and, like, if we publish new powers or magic items in Dungeon & Dragon...
Yeah, it's all Living Forgotten Realms compatible, all official content.
Right, it goes into the database right away, so
right.
We better have it right. You know, otherwise, it's just like, oh, whoops!
Of course, some of it is playtesting stuff, like the...
Yes.
Like the Artificer, which isn't finished, and you say that.
Yeah, let people know right from the start.
Okay.
You're right.
Now, another thing I want to ask about, you recently announced that the OGL is, or not the OGL, what are you calling it? The GSL is going to be updated again. When can we expect that announcement? Will that be here?
I was asking questions about that yesterday, and I wasn't given a timetable for when it was going to happen.
Okay.
So I know I can't imagine it's going to be here at this show.
Okay.
It's almost certainly going to be back when people are back in the office. As to when exactly, I don't know.
Now, what prompted you to announce that you're going to make changes?
I'm positive that the desire to go ahead and make it better. It's like there was an awful lot of feedback coming into us about, you know, both people commenting and then people making business decisions about what they wanted to support. And we looked at it and said, well, actually, we should change this. We should go ahead and, like, change provisions in it. Now, as to what those provisions are, I actually really only heard about some of those provisions yesterday. And so I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen in the final one. I am looking forward to seeing it and hoping that it moves things in a good direction.
So Wizards is still very eager to have third-party publishers of 4th edition.
I think so, yes.
Okay.
And it would be good to have a GSL that made third-party publishers equally interested in actually doing it. So
sure.
Yep.
All right, now let's start talking about the actual game and products that you're working on. First, big thing, Player's Handbook 2. What can you tell me about Player's Handbook 2 that has not already been said?
Give me one moment to think about that question, because you see, you've got a problem, because I, in fact, am the tightest-lipped member of R&D. I am infamous for not actually, it's like they gave.
I'm gonna have to jam your mouth open and reach inside there and pull out tasty tidbits of information.
Oh man, because you see, you're going directly against all of my actual innate.
Isn't it fun?
It's a
chance to cut loose. You know,
you misunderstand.
Throw off
sir.
The shackles. Run through the meadow.
As my coworkers will tell you, I am possibly the least controlled member of R&D and regarded as somewhat of a crazy man. But I
is
get
there a bard?
But I get there by absolute.
Is there a bard in Player's
Handbook
too? Iron
control. It's rat. So is there a bard?
Yes.
How do you spell that?
B-A-R-D. is there a bard player class? Is there a monk? Is there a barbarian?
I think I can safely tell you that the new power source...
The new power source?
And I'm pretty sure this is listed in the catalog, I believe, is called Primal.
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 So we can expect primal classes plus classes,
primal classes
from the previous
classes that you've already seen, from the power sources.
The previous power source.
That's right.
How many classes will we see?
I believe the number is 8.
8? How many new races?
I am not entirely sure. That's public, and you're asking me now.
That's my job, sir.
Yeah, I know it. You're doing an awesome job, and in fact, I feel so comfortable talking with you that I almost just answered you, but then I didn't.
Will we see any races that have not been in D&D before, such as the Dragonborn? Any wholly new races?
How happy would you be about that, out of curiosity?
That's not my job, sir. My job is to ask you questions. if they're fun to play, I don't care what they are, but...
I think there'll be at least one surprise.
Okay.
Yep. There'll be a surprise.
All right.
Yep.
What is it?
No, that I'm not saying.
Okay. Other than classes, races, feats, can we expect stuff that was not in Player's Handbook 1? You know, stuff, you know, extra rules that don't fit into those nice, tidy categories. Extra chapters.
There is a new subsystem in the game.
Is it called Psionics?
Well, you know, what do you think? Actually, I can tell you pretty clearly. If Psionics, in the terms this game uses, arcane, divine...
Psionics would be just another power source.
Yeah, it's a power source.
Which is fine. I mean, I never saw why Psionics had to be a tack-on system.
No, we're definitely not making Psionics just like, congratulations, you do Psionics things. Psionics is a power source.
Okay, so back to my original question. Beyond the nice, neat categories of classes, feats, are there any new systems, new chapters?
The horrible piece is that I got to figure out how to give you an answer that will actually make you happy and without being
You don't have to make me happy. You have to make all of them out there happy.
Broadcasters. Well, there is a new system. It's a subsystem. Okay. And in terms of what it's doing, it's new options for characters, but it's not something that is publicly announced at all, as far as I know.
Okay. New options. New options. Yeah. Can I throw out?
Are you gonna go fish with me?
Are they legendary weapons? Maybe.
Doing legendary weapon style stuff. Adventurer's Vault is the book that really has all the magic items that are.
Are you raising the level cap to 40?
Absolutely not.
More multi-classing options? I'm just running off all the things I can think of.
The cool thing is that whenever you do new classes,
yes,
you get new multi-classing options. And I can certainly also tell you that the things that were done with multi-class feats are not the only things that are possible to do with multi-class feats. There are other things you can do with them. And some of those are coming in these books.
In Player's Handbook 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it's like if you do a new class in Player's Handbook 2, you've got to have a new multi-class feat. And I think we're taking some different approaches to that, too. So that's kind of cool.
Okay. So let's talk about a product, so something that's a little more closer to release.
Sure.
This is Martial Power.
Yeah.
Tell me about Martial Power.
Martial Power has got new builds for the classes, basically new styles of fighter, a couple of them. They're like things that were sort of like guys that you couldn't really play out of the Player's Handbook, but now if you're the type of person who wants...
Such as?
One of the things in Martial Power that I'm happiest with is Warlord stuff. And I think Warlords are pretty cool in the Player's Handbook, but there was also sort of an angle on what the story background for them is and like what kind of stuff is going on with them in the world. And there's more of that is in Martial Power, along with two pretty exciting different styles of playing Warlords. One of them is really aggressive and is sort of risk-taking and is sort of saying, okay, I'm going to put myself at some risk, and because I'm putting myself at some risk, my allies will do better. The other one is a lot more resourceful in the sense that it has it's a little bit like the tactical warlord that's in the Player's Handbook, except that it, how can I say this without giving away all the mechanics? It's playing off of intelligence, and one thing that happened is, I think in the Player's Handbook, we didn't do enough to really show just how different that type of like control the battlefield could be. And the resourceful guy is really able to go ahead and like bring that out. And it's sort of a kind of associated in a certain sense with like old tiefling styles of battle. And so you get a little bit of that dangerous, edgy sense of like what they're willing to do to the enemy.
So Martial Power is going to introduce a whole bunch of new powers for the martial classes that we have.
Yeah, it does not end
so
new classes.
With new, so we, new Warlord, class. Fighter, and I think Paladin.
And Warlord, Fighter, Rogue.
Rogue, okay. So if you later come out with new martial classes, If we later come out with new Marshall classes,
we'll do a follow-up
Marshall Power 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
And the same thing with, like, you know, Arcane Power, and I assume there will be a Divine Power, although it's not on the list yet.
That would be a fair assumption. Yes. And the Arcane Power book is, for instance, FR, that's just getting published soon, is going to have a Sword Mage.
Yeah.
And we supported that Sword Mage class in the Arcane Power book, so that there will be five classes supported in that book instead of four. The Artificer in Eberron comes out really roughly the same time as Arcane Power, so it's not.
The Artificer will be in the Eberron campaign setting.
And it won't be supported until with more stuff like that.
Okay.
Until
we don't have much time left. Is there any pet product that you want to talk about? Anything you're working on that you want to just...
Well, you know, I think Player's Handbook 2 is really kind of most dear to me, and partially it's because we've really realized that instead of just doing, like, the intersection of, here's a primal controller, or here's a primal striker, we went ahead and thought, what makes classes, individual classes, really, really cool? Some of the classes that are in Player's Handbook 2 are so different than any classes that are in Player's Handbook that, you know, people will be playing them and they'll be playing a very different type of game. And so I'm into that because I think it lets players who didn't find something they liked in the first books.
You're loosening up on the whole roles aspect.
I would say no. Actually, finding completely different ways to do the same roles.
Okay.
The classes still have to go ahead and accomplish the roles, but we're also probably getting a better understanding of what those roles really are. I mean, honestly, the wizard was the only controller in the Player's Handbook. But Player's Handbook 2 has got controllers. And
more than one controller in Player's Handbook 2.
And by doing multiple controllers, you know, all of a sudden now we're really able to say, oh, okay.
Katie's, what's okay. that? What does that say? Katie's getting pissed. All right.
It's okay. And so, I'm pretty excited because I think what happened with Player's Handbook 2 is that we managed to, like, go ahead and figure out something better that we hadn't necessarily had the best handle on designing Player's Handbook 1.
I'm very excited to get this Player's Handbook. When does it come out? Next year?
That is, what date? It's, wow, I should know the answer to that question.
Is it roughly the same time as Player's Handbook 1 came out?
Yeah, roughly.
So, all right. So
it may be 11 months rather than 12, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, sounds like we've got a long way ahead of us. Well, thank you very much, Rob. It was a pleasure.
For you.
If you want
I know this now. The next time I talk with you, I will make sure that I am aware of exactly which nuggets I'm going to give you instead of just telling you no, no, no again. So my apologies for that.
Well, thank you very much.
Right.
If I catch you later, I'll try and get more.
Okay, all right.
You.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
And there's Rob Hinsu at Gen Con 2008. Now a promo for the Fistful of Comics and Games guys, because they have some great shows, and even if Victor is a bit of a putz and a loser, I was kind of harsh, so I thought I'd give him a little bit of a shout-out here. But Victor is a putz and a loser. You hear me, Victor?
Podcasting from their secret satellite headquarters.
Dude, it's your kitchen. Three friends gather around the dais of discourse,
like at your mom's kitchen table.
Do battle boredom and bash finality.
Armed with only a fistful of comics
and games.
Okay, Night Ranger, it looks like you've angered the kobold shaman, and he's about to cast a spell at you. What do you do?
Is he wearing boots?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, it might cause arcane spell failure.
Okay, yes, he's wearing high hard leather boots.
Well, in that case, I'll attack with my longsword.
Okay, roll to hit.
13.
That's a miss.
Working man?
What is it, Tangent? Can't you see that we're playing Keep on the Borderlands?
Well, I don't want to interrupt you, but we just got an urgent email from the Inker from Mutant Warrior Base on the planet Zargon, and he wants to know what our podcast is all about. What do you want me to tell him?
Well, tell them that we're a roundtable discussion with a revolving cast.
Okay, I've got that. Now what?
Well, tell them that we have topics about comics, games, and other related media, like TV, movies, and novels.
Okay, I've got that.
Well, don't forget to tell them about our comics, gaming, and sci-fi convention coverage.
Well, yeah, and our interviews with game and comic creators.
Yeah, sounds like everything he needs to get his geek on.
Well, I'll just finish up by saying that you can reach us at www.fistfulofcomics.com.
That's great. Now can we get back to our game?
Well, I want to keep you.
Okay, great. All right, so he finishes casting his spell, and he fires a magic missile at you. Take 3 points of damage.
But I have boots on.
Well, that's episode 83. And hey, why don't you email the show at thetomeshow@gmail.com and swing over to the forums and let me know who else we should try to get interviews with. Also, you can help the show get noticed with reviews or votes on various sites, but more than that, get out there and tell people about the show. This time, I want to talk to the other podcasters in the room. I'm very sad that I never get to hear the awesome new promo I have for the show called First Time DM. Could you guys play it for me? In fact, I'll put it in the feed to make it easier for you guys. Thanks! Also, don't forget to consider checking out the Tome's Amazon store for products discussed on this show and more. The show gets part of the proceeds, and that helps keep us on the air. And once again, you can find all this at thetomeshow.com. And of course, the Tome is a founding and certainly the greatest member of the Vorpal Network at vorpalnetwork.com, where we have launched a new show called The Main Feed, where we talk about everything geek on a weekly basis. It's pretty much the awesome. You should go check it out. Links for the things mentioned in this show can be found in the show notes on the website at thetomeshow.com, and this has been episode 83, Rob Hienso at Gen Con 2008 of
The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome.
I'm a monster!